Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Oh, boy detective, huh?
Well, you just did a weird first syllable, so I thought I would.
Did I really?
It was a little weird.
Do you think that's just I did not do it on purpose. Do you think it's because I'm so pumped up on Sudafed?
I mean, like, that's one explanation. Are you pumped on the Fed?
Oh, yeah, like I was fucking Donald Trump at the presidential debates.
Sudan? What do they call being blasted on Sudafed?
Getting fetty.
Getting fetty, yeah. Fun fetty?
Yeah.
Like the cupcakes.
Yeah, you got it. Man, I am so, I'm completely out of my mind.
Wow.
Taking some Excedrin today, taking a number of Sudafed. Had to go through that sad ritual where
Don't mix, baby. Come on.
Where you go to the, you know where you go to the pharmacist and you have to convince them you're not a meth dealer?
Come on, you know the old rhyme. Sudafed before Excedrin, you'll hurt your head in that situation.
Yeah.
And of course, Excedrin before Sudafed, you'll be dead.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that gives the lie to that old wives' tale because here I am, baby.
Oh, wow.
Podcasting and better than ever.
Alive, well.
Messing up syllables.
Man, you know what? Fuck those old wives and their tales. They're never true. Sorry. I don't mean to come out against old wives.
Look, if I wanted a tale, I'd ask Genji.
What are you talking about?
The Tale of Genji?
I don't know what that is.
It's like the first Japanese novel.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, get Genji on the line. Unless he's somebody's wife. Then I don't want to hear from him.
Well, if he's a young wife.
Yeah, I'd hear from a young
wife. Or like a truly elderly wife.
Right, yeah. But not an old wife.
No, old wives are the ones spreading those tales.
A wife in a coma?
Sure. Absolutely.
My favorite Smith song.
Should we introduce our guest?
I'd love to.
Of course, she's an award-winning singer-songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
She's a gifted actor.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know that. She's the host or co-host of The Art of Process,
mm-hmm.
brand new smash hit Maximum Fun podcast. She is much too good for this, Amy Mann.
Thank you for that fabulous introduction. I completely object to the... I'm a terrible actor, but thank you. I've stumbled my way through a couple of things. It's
God,
very...
Don't... I'd love to stumble my way through something.
So
that's
a friend,
the dream.
We were talking about this a little bit before Mike, but a friend was gushing to me when... because we were eating Gushers.
Love a friend gush.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Me and some friends are just gushing.
A friend and I were just fruit by the footing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Was gushing to me about how great you were on the Gianni Versace show.
Thank you. I just, you know, sang a song to a version of the song I had already sung before. So it wasn't really been singing.
Was it like one of those...
Just pretending to sing. Oh, what is it called? Lip syncing.
Was it like one of those things where a band plays at the Peach Pit for the cast of 90210? Or they go to the Max to perform for what's that show called?
I think the Max only had Close Up Magic. I don't think a band ever played.
Wait, did Harry Anderson come to the Max?
No, there was a budget Harry Anderson on Saved by the Bell who would perform Close Up Magic for the kids, but it would have some sort of like symbolism to what was going on with them that week.
Really?
I think so.
I watched a lot of Saved by the Bell. I don't remember any
magical metaphors.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I remember a time on Out of This World where Abraham Lincoln put Evie's cashmere sweater into what he called the make small machine. Turns out it was the dryer.
Oh, boy. Where's that reboot?
Wow.
Yeah. Come on, Abe.
I've watched no Saved by the Bell, but the magic metaphor segment intrigues me now.
Yeah. So you were on the Versace program.
Yes.
You were very funny on Portlandia as
Thank
yourself,
you.
As
but,
Amy Mann.
But, you know, I got Fred and Carrie there, and my instructions to them were please tell me exactly what to do so that I am funny and don't embarrass you.
I think it's a hilarious episode. One of my faves.
Amy, you would never embarrass them. You'd embarrass yourself.
Yeah, and by association, they would be embarrassed. So they have a stake in it. It's not as big as my stake.
And the entire Independent Film Channel.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I think based on our experience hosting a television mm-hmm. program for the Independent Film Channel, they're unembarrassable.
That's true.
They're without shame.
Yeah, you embarrass yourself. You embarrass the rerun of Lake Placid that comes on after you.
Yep.
Anyway, that's what's on IFC these days, I think.
Yeah, pretty much.
Who knows?
Yeah,
who knows?
Tell you.
Do you have a favorite acting role? Do you have a time when you think like, oh, man, nailed it on this
nailed
one?
It. I really haven't done that much. I mean, I do think the Portlandia thing was pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good.
I'm fairly proud of that.
Do you have a dream role?
Like a role I'd like to play?
I'll give you an example. Hugh Jackman just tweeted, and a lot of people shared this information with me. Hugh Jackman just tweeted that he will be playing Professor Harold Hill in The Music Man on Broadway.
Oh, that's right.
Now, yeah. I'm no murderer.
But you'd like to murder him for doing that? Is that the end of the sentence?
Should I? Look.
Do you think you could take Jackman?
I'm no murderer.
From
but
behind?
This,
he's Jack, man.
I could take him if he didn't see me coming.
Oh, so you want to sneak up on Jackman?
Hypothetically. Now, I would never...
Some rubber-soled shoes and you're in.
I want to clear. I'm no murderer.
And yet, the murder is being planned tonight.
I do own a black turtleneck,
mm-hmm.
some black pants,
right?
Some black, let's say, Keds.
Black Keds.
Yeah.
Okay. Are the sneaking shoes.
Yeah, those are sneaking shoes.
Sneaking shoes.
Yeah.
I like to sneak in my shape-ups.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So it tones my bottom as I sneak up on...
That's how Joe Montana does all his murdering.
Wait a minute. Was your murdering thing going to tie back to Hugh Jackman?
Yeah, so...
That's who you're going to murder?
If I can take out Jackman. And mm-hmm. granted, mm-hmm. is Jackman an international treasure? Sure. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with Jackman per se, other than the fact that, as far as I can tell, and I haven't looked at the depth charts recently... Mm. But as far as I can tell, he's the only thing standing between me and being Professor Harold Hill on Broadway.
Is that your goal? Is that a goal of yours?
Yeah, that's why I got into the entertainment industry.
Would you like to
And by the entertainment industry, I guess I mean NPR.
I feel like that calls for you singing something from The Music Man. Trouble? Little Trouble?
Yeah. Hold on. I just have my pitch pipe.
Yeah.
Shapoopy?
I don't think that's
Harold sing Shapoopy.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Man,
the girl
well.
Is hard to get.
Sing Shapoopy. Sing Shapoopy. It's a little hard to say three times fast.
It's not the Harold Hill character. I'm not. What's the Harold's? Come on. You got 76 trombones? Do you know songs from
76 trombones? That's a Harold Hill.
Music Man?
Mm-hmm. What's it? Marion the Librarian.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
Well, just two bars.
Are you really want me to sing?
Yeah, we're
With,
you
no,
have
you're a,
a
professional
you have a
singer.
Let me blow in my pitch pipe again. Oh, you brought one too. We all have pitch pipes.
I'm not singing a cappella while we're
76 trombones at the big parade.
Cornets. They were followed by rows and rows of the finest virtuosos and drums of every shape and size.
I'm into it.
Hugh Jackman?
Step aside.
Yeah.
You're cluttering
up
the walkway.
I have these adamantium claws.
Wow.
Well, this is
who's the greatest showman now, asshole?
Wow. Wait, hold on. Do you think The Greatest Showman was about Wolverine?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
You think that was an
X-Men? Starred Hugh Jackman.
He's not Wolverine in all of his movies.
Is he not?
No.
He was in the one I saw.
Well, that's one.
Yeah.
There are others.
That's 100%.
Yeah. No, you're right. I think every movie. And now, boy, implications for the X-Men universe is now The Music Man part of the X-Men universe?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
He's a mutant. His mutant power is salesmanship.
Right.
Suddenly that show makes a lot more sense.
Sell anything. Oh, yeah.
And, of course, the townspeople, their mutant power is Iowa stubborn.
What's the Wells Fargo Wagons mutant power?
Coming down the street.
Yeah, yeah. hey, I wanted to, because you know it's the Max Fun Drive.
Yeah, that's true.
Where we're talking about the fans. How much we appreciate the fans.
We've got some fans right here as we record this. Mm-hmm. This is not what we normally do, but we decided this week we would live stream this week's record on Facebook. So we've got fans
watching. Just floated up the screen
around the world. Mm-hmm. 6, 8. 9 of them.
Wow, 9! Hold on, let me call my mom. Yeah, mom, 9!
Oh, it went down to 8. I think your mom stepped away from the screen for a second.
Oh, yeah, right. My mom just turned on PewDiePie.
Oh, my God.
My mom loves PewDiePie.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Well, she's a crypto Nazi.
Oh, yeah, PewDiePie's bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry to bandy about the name PewDiePie casually.
Yeah.
It's fun to say.
Yeah.
But
I
won't say it anymore.
I was on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And someone
cool.
I know. Well, I'm not bragging.
Microblogging?
My lifestyle. And someone at mentioned me, and they said, "Hey, I'm just tweeting at random people. Can you give a shout out to PewDiePie?
Oh God,
support independent performers."
What?
And so I don't really know about PewDiePie except that he was accused of being a crypto Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
However, what I found myself wishing was that. We, on Jordan, Jesse, Go,
right.
The confounding, frustrating, and ultimately disappointing podcast that we host,
mm-hmm.
had people who cared so much about our program that they would be tweeting at PewDiePie
mm-hmm.
to say, "Hey, can you just give a shout out to Jordan, Jesse, Go?"
That would be nice.
What's PewDiePie doing that we're not?
Streaming, I guess. And
yeah, I guess he's streaming.
Having various views.
Yeah.
That we don't support.
Having some views.
I wanted to, because we're talking about the fans
right.
this week. And I had a really nice interaction with a fan. And I just wanted to shout them out personally.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to take this space in the show to create some space. I love spaces.
Yeah.
Just wanted to create a space to say just a hi and a shout out to Alex, the bartender at the Hollywood and Highland Dave and Buster's.
Oh, wow.
Who looked at my ID. And I'm glad he checked my ID.
Yeah, of course.
But it's because, I mean, do I look under 21? Okay, I mean, I guess so. I'm flattered.
You know what?
What I said.
Thank you.
That's I'm
what I
flattered.
Say. Thank you.
To be ID'd at my age.
Right.
First, that was thrill one.
Yeah.
To be ID'd.
Yeah.
Thrill two was to be inside Dave and Buster's.
Yeah. You didn't even have your face on when they ID'd
no,
you.
No, and he looked at the ID and he's
straight
like,
from the gym.
He's like, "Jordan Morris?"
Mm-hmm.
He says, "I listen to your podcast every day." Wow. Now, should you listen to the show every day? I mean, maybe not. I mean, I guess you could listen
that
to...
That would probably divert your life.
Yeah.
Towards a more... dissolute path.
It's an hour. I guess I just wonder at what you were listening to at that point. Are you re-listening to the same? Because we only do an hour and a half a week.
Right.
In a daily show. This isn't the daily. This isn't the yeah. gist.
But, you know.
Maybe it's spaced out in segments.
Oh, yeah. Maybe, right.
You know,
maybe he listens
hour
to
segments.
It 10 minutes. I don't know what his community
I don't know if you
so
asked
that's
him.
3 days right there.
Yeah. yeah.
So.
Okay.
You know, maybe there's a backlog.
Yeah.
Maybe it came late to the game.
Could so be, like, yeah. Could be he's like, "I've been listening to podcasts every day for 2 weeks."
Yeah.
Every week, there's 90 minutes of the regular show, 90 minutes or so. You got the guests, you got the banter, you got the different segments.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the Doughboys Double, if you're a member of the Patreon.
It's Doughboys you're thinking of.
Oh, okay.
This is not Doughboys. I wish it was.
Yeah.
It would be a dream.
God, that would be amazing.
God, I would love to be on Doughboys. Anyway. but he said,
I honestly thought I did a great job on the show. I don't know why
sure.
I haven't been back. I get it. Nicole Byer is available.
Sure.
She's fun. She's great in everything.
She is?
Yeah.
Can she host the show with me? Amy, do you want to do a podcast with Nicole Byer?
God, I don't know who that is, but sure.
She's a delight. You'll
yeah,
love
she's
her.
She's a joy.
Much better than Jesse.
Yeah, well, you know, can't be everything.
You can't sing a Music Man and be delightful.
That's true.
I'm not saying you're not delightful.
Well, I think Jesse is what we call a single threat.
Yeah.
You can sing the Music Man. And I'm maybe like a half threat.
My single threat is talk singing.
part threat?
Yeah. It's a little bit of a threat.
I'm a regular Rex Harrison.
good suspender hook when you said that.
Thank you.
So he checks my ID. Says, I've listened to your podcast every day, which was a thrill to hear. I mean, I was confused by it, but also thrilled. And then he said, hey.
I also love news radio. I love to get all kinds of viewpoints.
Sure.
Your podcast is a real experience, Joe Rogan.
And he said, first round's on me, which was a thrill.
That's
I mean, that
fantastic.
Was great.
Wow.
And I hope I'm not getting him in trouble with Dave and Buster's corporate by saying that. I don't know if he was, allowed to do that, if that's like part of the...
I can help with this. Dave does listen.
Mm.
A few weeks ago, Buster kind of sent me a really mean email.
Oh,
we
boy.
Said something that upset him.
Yeah, you don't want to piss off Buster.
About BW3.
Yeah.
And he said all he listens to now is Never Not Funny.
Well.
Mm. You like stop podcasting yourself because they're nicer than we are.
That's true. You're Canadian. So his first round's on me. And then he's like, you know, I was thinking I was going to run into you here. And I thought, am I that predictable? Am I that predictable? Dude, I like to think of myself as an enigma. You don't know whether I'm coming or going. Anyway.
You must have left a lot of clues in there, many hours of constant listening.
Yeah,
as with the Enigma.
A lot of clues were dropped.
He right. got together a crack team of our nation's greatest scientists mm-hmm. and cracked your code.
Mm-hmm. He's right. I imagine he has a bulletin board in his room with red string tied to various newspaper articles.
This way, that way, upsy down.
How do I run into Jordan, he thought. Work at Dave and Buster's.
Yeah.
And sure enough.
I mean, you've never talked about Dave and Buster's on the show before.
I think I have, actually.
Have you?
Yeah.
I don't really pay attention while you're talking.
You just got to zone out.
Can we get Nicole in here? Nicole Byer,
Nicole Byer, everybody.
In.
Nicole Byer. Replacing everyone.
Anyway. That is a really beautiful experience,
It was
Jordan.
A beautiful experience. Despite me not feeling like as much of an enigma as I thought I was, because I assumed I was one. But yeah, it was really, really nice. I want to give a shout out to Alex. Thanks for that cocktail. It was great. And I had a lovely time at the Hollywood and Highland.
What was your drink?
Tequila and club soda.
Hmm.
Nice, you know.
It's kind of a romance drink.
Right, yes. Right. Yeah. Just a masculine dude hanging out at Dave and Buster's.
Just a real straight.
Right.
You know, and yet refreshing.
My dad drank it. My granddad drank it.
You could call it a tequila spritzer.
Oh, I should call it a spritzer.
And that's lighten it up a little.
Do you have a regular drink? What's your just
I like
order?
I like Campari and soda, which could not be more of a ladies' drink.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think a lot of like international gents like Campari, if you're like a well-traveled yeah. gent.
It's an aperitif.
Yeah. It sure
I'm a well-traveled
Jordan,
gent.
When you ordered your tequila and soda, mm-hmm. what shelf did he go to? Was it just was it a
I think it was rail, yeah. Yep. Hey Alex, fuck you. I know I told a nice story. Hey, how about middle shelf? How about George Clooney's tequila?
No. E40s.
E40s tequila.
Tequila, please.
Turtle from Entourage.
E40 tequila,
There's
please.
There's multiple celebrity tequilas he could have poured. But he chose.
Alex claims that he listens.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see about that.
I had a really nice experience with a fan.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
please,
totally.
Do tell.
Probably a lot of our listeners don't know, but when I'm not working at Maximum Fun, I have a job as a private detective.
Mm-hmm.
I have
Hold on, just real quick. Is
a
this
singing
story-
private detective.
Right. God, that's a Coen Brothers movie coming up. You know it.
Yeah.
So hold on, just real quick. Is this story real?
No.
Okay. Go ahead. Yeah.
So I work downtown in an office as a private detective.
Private detective, sure.
And
who sings?
It was the golden hour,
mm-hmm.
and I had the shades. I have like louvered shades, you know, like mm-hmm. Venetian blinds or whatever on my windows, and I had them open somewhat so it let some light in, but also there were shadows.
Mm.
And honestly, when I do that, it gets hot.
Mm-hmm.
So I went ahead and. Turn on the ceiling fan.
Oh, boy. Is that where you were going the whole time?
I guess.
Cool.
Right here. Hold on. I had a great experience with the fan the other day.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to watch a lesser Robert De Niro movie.
Ah, sure.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Robert De Niro and Wesley Snipes in that one?
Yeah, I think Wesley Snipes was in that. Yeah. I feel like the thing, only thing, I've never seen the movie, but I remember being excited because I think Robert De Niro wore a San Francisco Giants hat in that movie.
Oh.
And that was like, just as with, you know, How I Married an Axe Murderer or something. You know, you get a little shot of your hometown.
Sure.
You get a real thrill out of that.
Real slice of life.
I mean, it's not a rail tequila level thrill.
No.
There's a show, this is before your time, but a TV show called Mannix that I remember as watching as a kid in late 60s, early 70s, like a, you know, detective, private detective. And there was a shot of him running down a street a block away, and I was so unreasonably excited, a block from where I live.
Mannix!
And you're like, oh, this is the Mannix Street!
He's here!
It's so exciting.
Where was it? What part of town?
It's in Los Feliz.
Okay.
But just also the idea of a television show shooting in Los Feliz, I don't know why that seems ridiculous. But we've been watching a lot of those early 70s, like Canon is one.
Okay.
And it's just, boy, the standards, the locations are so junky. You feel like they just like pulled, you know, like drove around and pulled it to the side of the street and was like, I guess this will do. Like it just seems so wildly unplanned.
Are the shows good?
No. The Mannix, I remember loving Mannix as a kid, and it's terrible. The writing is terrible. It's worse than, like, if we just came up with a plot right now and transcribed just exactly what first came to our minds in terms of dialogue, it would be
like
1,000% better.
A mutant with an adamantium skeleton has to unload a bunch of musical instruments on an unsuspecting town off the top of
that
my head.
Already is better, but also just like the dialogue is so weirdly still, like it was almost like you have to try to make it not flow. It was it's really kind of amazing. Canon is slightly better, but its location, it's all like parking lots, and it's shot at night, and there's no light, so it's just like murky shapes. Amazingly poor.
Whenever I would like encounter a 70s rerun as a kid, Chips, I think my mom liked a Chips rerun. I think she might
have watched Chips.
She might have had an Eric Estrada thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's usually the cause of Chips.
I saw Eric Estrada one time here in Los Angeles.
How'd that go?
He's very shiny, man.
Yeah.
He was shiny?
Very shiny.
He was sweating?
Had a shine on him. No, a natural...
like a natural oil?
Yeah.
He was just oiled up?
Like a seal.
He was...
He was oiled up a little.
I would characterize him as taut.
Mm.
Oh, uh-huh.
Not muscular, but taut.
Mm. Oh, got it.
Could bounce a dime off him.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. Flick a dime at Estrada.
I guess a light translucence.
Right.
I always remember as a kid being upset watching a 70s rerun by how brown everything was.
So brown.
Too much brown.
Everything is brown.
Come on.
It's the 70s brown. It's true.
Some things were orange and other things
were
avocado green.
Yeah, it's true. But mostly it was brown. There was a lot of brown.
And a lot of things that were very close to brown as well.
My dad's car, when I was like, I was going to say 10 to 14, he inherited it from a friend who died.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 77 Nova. It was metallic brown.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a little zhuzh.
Yeah, exactly.
Zhuzh up that brown.
You got to zhuzh the brown.
Zhuzh the brown, baby.
Yeah. So
you don't want a flat
brown.
That's
actually a line in my personals ad for somebody to zhuzh the brown.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean?
It's really, really hot in here.
Yeah.
I'm going to remove my sweater.
Let's take a quick break so Amy Mann can remove her sweater. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, off that Fetty.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Amy Mann, nicknameless.
Oh, come on,
the nickname,
Amy.
The nicknameless.
That could be the name of the hard-boiled singing detective, Nick Nameless.
Jordan, why
Nick Nameless, punch, punch.
Why do we bring these dignified people onto our show? Why are these people with a sense of self-respect?
Yeah, get Fairbanks in here. dance, Fairbanks. I ran into him in an alley.
We want to hear you bumble.
Yeah.
Wait, did you run into Chris Fairbanks in an alley?
Yeah, we were both in an alley and walking at each other.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it was great. He lives near there.
Wait, like in the dumpster? Or?
No, he lives in a house. It's just near an alley.
Got it.
Anyway, it was really fun. Same day I met Alex, the guy who gave me the drink at Dave and Buster's.
Sounds like a hell of a day.
God, it was
I'm not
a great
lie
day.
To you.
Best day have of my
you,
life.
Free Amy, drinking and wandering the alley.
Amy, I have a question for you, okay? It is. So you're a music icon.
Thank you.
Your fame has more depth than breadth. You are deeply meaningful to many people, but you are not very slightly meaningful to
It's like a spike in the ground.
Hundreds of millions.
Right. It's like a stake. Yeah.
Like I
a
know.
Stake hammered into the ground.
She kept super cool about it, but Jennifer Marmer, the producer of Judge John Hodgman, when Amy came on Judge John Hodgman's live show here in Los Angeles, I could see anytime Jen had finished talking to Amy and then walked far enough away that Amy couldn't see her anymore, she was basically doing like a face.
Listen.
Because I think she had so admires Amy Mann.
I will be doing it in the car on the way home.
Thank you for your exaggerated response.
I'll be doing the same thing when Devin the Dude is a guest
your flattery.
On our show.
I appreciate it and accept your flattery.
However, I think that is it, certainly. I'm sure it can be burdensome at times, but it's a nice kind of fame. And I wonder what the best thing you've ever gotten was, and what kind of drink it was at Dave and Buster's.
Free thing? I haven't gotten a ton of free things. Let me think about it during the course of this evening.
Maybe it could be a homemade. I don't know if anybody's sewn your likeness into a pillow.
Oh, there's a placemat that someone painted a picture of a cat that I sang about, Goose. I have a song called Goose Snow Cone, and it was essentially about a cat. And they painted a placemat, which is like so bizarre that it was awesome.
I don't know. I didn't know that song was about a cat.
It was kind of inspired by a cat.
Is it obvious? Did I just totally miss it?
It was actually about being. It is not obvious.
Okay.
And it requires explanation every time I play it, which is just, you know, makes me feel like an idiot.
Because my radar is up for cat content. So I'm like, I've listened to that song many times. I didn't get the cat.
It's not obvious. It was, so I was in, I was on tour and I was in Ireland. Mm-hmm. It was very cold and snowy. And it was just one of those, like, I was feeling homesick and kind of depressed and like, ugh. And so I started writing the song. But I was also kind of at the same time looking on Instagram, and there is a cat that whose owners I follow, and the cat's name is Goose.
Oh.
And it was a picture of her looking like a little snow cone because she had a cone, like a white face and a cone on.
Because like she had stitches or something?
Yeah. Okay. So, and so it was just like a sad,
yeah.
It was like one of the sad, like meow, plaintive little things. So I was using this phrase, Goose Snow Cone, kind of as a placeholder. Except it just like it, I don't know, like it made sense because it was snowy and like, I don't know, like it made sense in my mind. And I was like, I'm going to replace this because I don't want to have to explain to like every time I play the song. And then, of course, I say this exact story like, yep, I don't want to have to explain it, but I'm going
here
to.
Here it is.
Here it is. Yeah. So I never replaced it. I just couldn't come up with anything that made sense. And I was like, oh, fuck it. It's fine.
I like it more now.
Yeah, Jordan has certain standards, sort of like how in Canada on the radio you have to play 20% Canadian music or whatever. In Jordan's car, it's 20% of what they call cat related.
Cat content.
Cat content.
So yeah, it's basically I just have to play that one weaker than song.
I approve
every
of this,
minutes.
And I will write a song. I will write a complete all cat song. Just for you.
Don't fuck with me, man. You got to do it.
I'll do it. I'll absolutely do it.
Wow.
I'll do it.
My life. It's complete.
Would you like to give me the specs for your cat? Like, what kind of cat song would you... What's your ideal cat song?
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Jordan, can I get you some new pants?
I'll take
Please describe your ideal cat number.
Wow, my ideal cat. Well, I would like it to be about my cat.
Uh-huh,
that would
uh-huh.
be nice.
What's your cat's name?
Her name is Bug.
bug.
She's nice. She likes to sleep.
Chase the laser pointer, right?
No, she's never gotten much into laser pointers.
Really?
There's some rubber bands that she enjoys.
She's got her own thing. Like every cat does the laser pointer. It's a rare cat that will chase a rubber band.
Yeah, yeah. So,
cat stands out of the pack.
Right.
She's very cat pack.
She's very unique.
Yes.
So, you know, she likes to get a hug. She'll stand on the coffee table.
But we got bug and hug already. We got like a rhyme scheme.
Oh, yeah. What rhymes with rubber band?
We could do many things.
We'll figure it
out. That's an easy one. Rhymezone.com.
You could just go all bug, hug, drug,
snug.
Thug.
Snug.
Yeah. Thug.
Mm-hmm.
Rug.
Mm-hmm. Cure rug. Talk about making coffee.
Yeah.
Well, you have to kind of.
Weaker than you'd like coffee.
Right. Make a cup of coffee in the cure rug.
Yeah.
Personalized cat song. Just for you.
Thank you. That would be amazing. Wow. Yeah.
I'll put it in the hopper.
Thanks. Yeah.
That's what they call the art of process, Jordan.
Your new podcast.
That's right. We just processed a cat song.
It is Max Fun Drive time, guys.
All right. Let's Max Fun it. Fun Drive it.
MaximumFun.org. All of our shows are supported by you, the audience. A little bit of our money comes from advertising. We have a couple of other things that a little bit of our money comes from. But especially for a show like Jordan, Jesse, Go!, almost all of our funding comes from you, directly from you who are listening right now. All of the thousands of people who become Maximum Fund members and elect to support Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Yeah, can I just bring it back to Alex at Dave & Buster's for a second?
Yeah, please do.
Alex bought a round of drinks.
Right.
He's a stand-up dude.
Yeah, of course.
But you better believe I left a tip.
Wow, yeah. You're
no piker.
Yeah.
No. But so I would like to encourage the listener to think about the pledge drive. You know, if you're not somebody who donates to, you know, NPR or PBS or something, maybe the donation concept can be a little hard to get your brain around. And I like to think about it like this. Don't think of it as, you know, paying for something free. Think about it as just giving a tip to somebody who's providing something you like. I think, you know, if you're out there. And you're listening, you probably don't think twice about throwing down a tip for a bartender or, you know, throwing something to the barista. Maybe they got a cute either or thing they're doing with the tips, Marvel or DC. I don't know. Those are fun.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, if you tip those people, if you
Wolverine tip and the Music Man.
Right. They're the same guy. Yeah. They're the same guy now. If you're out there and you're a tipper and you should be, just think of this as throwing your favorite podcasters, a buck a show. If you want to make it more than a buck a show, that's great. But a buck a show goes a long, long way.
You're getting a hearty drink, two hearty drinks of podcast, two filling potent drinks of podcast.
Yes.
Toss a tip out there.
Toss a tip.
For that free drink you just got.
And I love talking about it in these terms because, you know, I think it does help people kind of, you know, wrap their brain around it. And also when I make this analogy, I get to hear from the beautiful people of the I Don't Tip community. And I love all – you're so great. I love you, and I love hearing from you at this time of year. You're so logical.
Oh, they've got a system, Jordan.
Yeah. Anyway, I do not want to hear from you.
And they just finished The Fountainhead.
They just finished The Fountainhead. They want me to at PewDiePie. Yeah.
Just texted you a spreadsheet they made.
Amy,
yes.
Your podcast, The Art of the Process,
yes.
It, unlike this show, which is a goof around, stuff goes into it. You and Ted kind of record, you're kind of bi-coastal. You know, you have guests whom you research in order to talk about the process.
Ted sits there and edits the show himself.
Ted,
this is a literal
is
rock star.
No, he's unbelievable. He edits it himself. And he's, you know, he's got a good ear. He's great at it. But I've been interested in this. I'll tell you when I got interested in, unless we are still talking about.
No, let's hear. Things. Yeah, we're talking about podcasts.
I did a thing. Okay, this requires me to brag, so I'm just going to get that over with.
Do it.
I was asked to to do a poetry thing at the
It's called Deaf Poetry Jam.
comes out after Saturday Night Live.
At the Obama White House.
Whoa!
Yes, exactly. That's the brag. Yep.
That's the good White House.
And that was the good one. And that was so awesome. And I don't really know why I was included in a poetry thing, but God bless them. And so there was, you know, poets, and there were a couple of other musicians. But I got to sort of see these poets not only perform, but there was a seminar that they did in the afternoon for high school poetry students or English students, and they answer questions. And the poet Billy Collins he spoke particularly eloquently about, he was asked about, not really about process, but somebody said, you know, how do you find your own voice in poetry? And he said, study the form, because people who are interested in poetry will come for the form. And if you perfect the form and inhabit the form, your voice will emerge. And I just thought that there was something so interesting about that, you know, that because I, you know, people think that that an art form is about like, oh, I got to have something to say. Like, no, you have, it's more like you have to have something to do.
I'm already I have a notepad here. Mm-hmm. And just hearing those words from the former poet laureate of the United States, I've already got a line. There once was a man from Nantucket.
Okay.
Oh, Hold on.
I'm studying the form,
there
Jordan.
It is.
Okay.
Start with
that's
the form,
live
Jordan.
Maturity.
Rhyme,
that
bug,
we
and
are.
Hug. Damn it. That's the only rhyme I'm interested in. So you guys interview creative people about how they put their thing together.
About their process, because what I'm interested in is, you know, not the sort of, you know, moments of inspiration, because like who can control that? But I feel like there is, you know, there are like practical things that people do that bring you to the creative, you know, like being organized, and how do you practice, and what initially influenced you, and what did you imitate, and how did those things that you imitated, how that end up merging into what you do now?
I feel like your relationship with Ted in part grows from process, that like the two of you were like, hey, we should try writing songs together and see if that's anything.
Yeah, yeah. And that was really interesting, because it was, we both had to write in a different kind of way. You know, it is really interesting to collaborate with somebody that you're, you know, when you're used to just doing it on your own.
I mean, you don't have to tell me and Jordan. I mean, Jordan's been working with Nicole Byer, and it is amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
We have a new show coming out. We're called The Both, and I think people will really like it.
Here's the thing. Somebody, Jordan, the other day.
Yes.
I did, because it's the Max Fun Drive, I did a live stream on Facebook. And somebody asked me, hey, do advertisers ever not advertise on Jordan Jesse Go because they don't get it? And the answer to that question is mostly advertisers don't advertise on Jordan Jesse Go because we don't have enough listeners. But yes, the answer to that is yes. But there's also a second answer to that. And I was glad they asked that question, which is when you are making media that is primarily supported by advertising, your job is to create an environment that is conducive to sales.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, at the end of the day, bottom line, no matter how far you are separated from the advertising sales team or whatever, no matter how many firewalls there are, your goal is and always will be to do stuff that puts people in the mood to be receptive to advertising, and for that advertising to convert them to buying something. And I think that's fine. And it works great for some things. For a show like Amy's show, or for a show like our show, I'm very grateful that we have a different model. Like when we have advertisers on the show, and we've had some really great advertisers on the show, I'm always grateful for that. But we know that we are not relying on them. We ultimately, our end consumer is the end consumer. The audience is who pays for this show. And that's why I'm very grateful that we can do shows like we do because of people who become members of Maximum Fun.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think there's a lot of like reasons people do podcasts these days. You know, they're, you know, it's kind of a hot medium. You know, it can be turned into TV and books and things like that, which is very cool if that happens to a show. That will never happen to this show.
Yes.
So basically the only...
We've sold our format overseas, to be clear.
Right, yeah. There's Jordan, Jesse, Go, but everything has an umlaut over it.
Yeah.
Scandinavia. I don't know if that's where umlauts are from. Probably not.
It's like butt plug.
Yeah, right. Yes, that's our show in Scandinavia.
Yeah.
But yeah, because this show has gone on for as long as it does because people support it, because people go to MaximumFun.org/donate. It's the reason we do this. Like, we, you know, show up and do this show. It is not helping our careers. It is actively hurting
actively
them.
Actively hurts our careers.
But enough people go to that website and, you know, throw us a couple of bucks every month because they like the show and they want them to keep coming. And yeah, and because of them, it's kept coming for, 12-ish years now. Yeah. And it keeps it coming. Us making cum jokes.
Yep.
If you like that. It's really, really awesome. And I think, you know, I certainly know what it is like when a beloved podcast decides we're not going to do this anymore. It happens a lot. If you want to, you know, if you listen to shows on Maximum Fun and you want them to not go away, a good start is to go to MaximumFun.org/donate. So because, you know, despite how things go with ads or other career stuff or whatever, we can keep doing this show because enough people go to that website.
Yeah. It's MaximumFun.org/donate. Our goal is 25,000 new and upgrading MaxFun members. We've got a bunch of new shows right now. And we've got a bunch of shows out there killing it with bringing in those new folks. If you've been a Jordan Jesse Go listener for a long time, or even if you've been a listener for a short time and the show already means a lot to you, go to MaximumFun.org/donate and you can join now. We're well on our way, Jordan.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen.
And we're gonna in a little bit later in the show, we want to tell you about some of the cool stuff you can get. So if for some reason appealing to your sense of decency doesn't work, we can appeal to your sense of gimme.
Yeah.
Give me stuff. We got it. We got stuff for you. It's really, really cool. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later in the show.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And Amy Mann. The nickname-less.
I think the nickname-less.
I forgot I was here.
Yeah.
So much dignity. You didn't forget you were here. You just blacked out.
I forgot I was here.
I'll just a quick update. We stopped down our first segment because Amy was hot and needed to take off her sweater.
Yeah.
It's very fun poodle sweater.
I have to show this sweater because it's a poodle with like human hair and eyes. And it's really weirdly disturbing.
Yeah, it definitely is delightful and upsetting at the same time. If you were watching the live stream, you could see, but sorry, it's why you got
to
tune in.
I'm holding it up to a computer.
Yeah. It has an uncanny valley type, you know, appeal, but also repulsion.
Yeah, those are human eyes. And then it's got kind of a mullet.
But man whips off the sweater. Underneath the sweater, owl t-shirt.
Owl.
So many animal layers.
Pun? It's probably a pun.
It says never sleep on it.
No, that's not a pun. Does it say I'll be seeing you?
That's two puns.
Make it three.
Jordan.
That could be your new nickname. Amy Two Puns Man.
Jordan, I don't know if you noticed this. It's very hot in here.
Yeah.
That's why
Amy took off that sweater.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you noticed, but I've kept my second layer on.
Yes.
I'm wearing a blue banded collar shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then over it, I'm wearing what Amy, when she arrived, described as a serape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But because I've never heard the term that you used.
What did I use? Did I call it a poncho?
A drug rug.
I don't think what you're wearing is a drug rug.
Okay.
It looks like it's made of linen. I feel like it needs to be a heavier weave.
Yeah, kind of a I mean, it definitely has some qualities, but I think the thing we were specifically talking about with Drug Rugs is it is the shape of a hoodie.
Okay.
But it has that blanket quality. I think it's called a Baja. I think the appropriate name is a Baja.
Yeah, fresh.
Yeah.
So I wore this today because, for your benefit, Amy, and for the benefit of our listeners who don't pay attention while the show is on. Mm-hmm.
this is actually mostly white noise to put babies to sleep.
Yeah.
Wow. 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 Wow.
This is good.
This is good audio.
ASMR.
Good
I like
ASMR.
It. Yeah.
Sally just said her first word. It was thruple.
Do not teach your kids to talk with this podcast.
We have had a lot. We've kind of initiated a series of challenges here on Jordan Jesse Go.
Mm-hmm.
It started with, what was the first thing?
I think Jeopardy contestants was the
Jeopardy
first thing.
Jeopardy contestants. We learned that we had a stunning volume of Jeopardy contestants on the program. Then we asked whether there were more Jeopardy contestants or people who owned real fezzes. No costume store bullshit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It turns out that one of the Doctor Who's wears a fez. So fez won, walking away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Completely dominant.
I
have a fez.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you get your fez?
Probably some thrift store somewhere.
See, yeah. She...
But
Amy,
my husband...
is a cool Gen Xer. See, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Cool Gen Xers and actual North African people were the two categories that I identified.
But you're saying your husband...
My husband collects Knights Templar stuff. So
wow.
He has hats with like Knights Templar insignia and plumes.
Where did...
Like the tri-corner or the whatever, like
oh, sure,
Napoleonic
a plumed tri-corn, yeah.
Where did that hobby start?
You know, I think when you're... There's a certain point in your 30s where you just... collect, like you land on a thing and
he
then you collect a bunch of that thing and then you collect some other things. He, like, if you know him, it makes a lot of sense. He collects Masonic stuff and I think he's like out of his collecting phase and now we're just like desperately trying to get rid of the backlog of junk we
have. Does the Knights Templar stuff invade the house?
Well, we did a bunch of construction on the house and so everything got packed away, and so I'm not going to mention those hats, and hopefully we'll just forget that they're in a box.
That's
somewhere.
A classic child rearing yeah. technique. So at this point,
anyway, fezzes. Back to fezzes.
Fezzes. You have one. Do you wear it out?
No, it's not wear. It's not a wear. It's not a wear type of thing.
You wouldn't wear that. You wouldn't wear that to do a show.
No.
It's, you get out there on stage looking sharp.
It's display only.
It would be askew.
You know, who looks good in a fez? It elongates the head in a way that is not flattering.
A jaunty angle.
Yeah. Just tip it.
So,
there's no brim.
Yeah.
Brian, Sonny D, Brian Fernandez, our producer, has his microphone over there. Brian, what is this week's competition? Because fez is so thoroughly destroyed Drug Rugs, mm-hmm. which were the next one of these.
So this week we're talking bowling shoes, people who've worn bowling shoes outside of a bowling alley.
Mm-hmm.
And first I want to say that the Drug Rug people, apropos of their style, really came in strong in the second week.
They forgot to call.
Yeah, there were a couple people who were like, I finally got my shit together and called.
Oh, man, I spaced.
Yeah, honestly, there were a couple of those.
Okay.
So we got 12 Drug Rugs this week, which is one third of what we got last week.
Okay. So doesn't bring it up to fez levels.
No,
but
no.
A little higher than we thought.
A little higher.
Okay.
And beat fezzes on the second week of fezzes.
Yeah.
Are you trying to beat fezzes now?
We are trying to beat fezzes.
Okay.
Yeah. Trying to beat fezzes.
Actually,
right.
As of right now, we did get a couple more fezzes this week, and so Amy is actually our 100th fez.
Congratulations, Amy. This is huge for you.
So this week was bowling shoes, and
okay.
Bowling shoes brought the heat.
Okay.
Almost all stolen.
Okay.
Wow.
And a couple bought from like a rummage sale at a church.
Okay.
67 Bowling Shoe People.
That's a strong showing.
Wow, that's a very strong
showing. Stronger than I thought it was going to be.
Our first Fez week was 85, so it was close.
Yeah.
I came very close to buying bowling shoes during the peak of bowling shoes, which I would put it, what would you say, 97?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, I feel like there was an 80s bowling shoe run, too. I think they come in waves.
These things come back
waves.
Around. Yeah,
they come in waves.
Yeah, I mean, you got to figure like the Sparks wore bowling shoes at some point.
Sure, yeah. And then, yeah, like maybe at some point, Logan Paul will start wearing them, and then a new generation of kids.
It's a shoe you think, you look at it, and you're like, it's kind of style, and it's sort of, it's sporty, but like not in a typical way, and then you put it on, you're like, this goes with nothing.
Yeah.
And then you
slip and fall.
Yeah, that's right.
a lot of people talked about wearing them to ska shows.
Ska shows? Sure.
Seems like it would be a good skanking
shoe. Do you have a big skanking audience?
I think so, yeah. I think probably a big part of our audience was probably involved in some way in the third wave ska revival. Maybe even the second wave ska revival. We're talking about older generation X peoples.
Would you say somebody from Madness is listening to this show right now?
I would hope so.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Come on, the specials.
Sure. Are you?
That's the end of my second wave ska knowledge.
Are you Dave Wakeling?
Now we're talking. Amy, have you ever had bowling shoes?
I'm sure I did, but because I do recall that like I liked them, and then I could never make them work with any kind. Like they don't really go with just jeans, and it's a hard sell.
It was something I did in high school in my I'm going to be a high school goofball period.
Yes,
and I also had like the thrift store bowling shirt with like somebody else's name on it, and I carried my books in a bowling bag for a while. So I really committed to bowling for like...
That was your theme.
For like a couple months, I was bowling
was
guy.
Theme.
Yeah.
That is very funny.
I'm going to pitch you guys something.
Okay.
Here we go.
And don't be afraid to be harsh because I need constructive feedback on this.
Okay.
But my first thought is I want to get away from clothing items. Mm-hmm. And I think
we have so many naturalists listening.
Yeah.
People who don't even wear clothes.
Yeah. I am thinking, and this is a first draft, so don't tear me apart, but I do need your frank opinion. How many people have been in a submarine? Been in a submarine.
I
and
feel
of course
like zero.
Yeah.
Well, James Cameron listens.
Well, that's how many people own a submarine. Yeah.
I mean, unless you're talking about the Disneyland submarine.
But what about like a submarine in like San Diego or whatever?
No one
that you go on a tour of.
Who?
There's
what?
A San Diego submarine?
No one.
I've definitely been on
that.
A tour of a submarine.
Really?
In San Diego?
Might have been in San Diego, might have been somewhere else, but I've definitely been on a submarine.
How? Why?
What about a submarine?
What, you have been?
What about a submarine sandwich?
Oh, have you been inside a giant sandwich? Maybe for sexual reasons. Do you have some sort of sandwich fetish?
What about aboard a naval vessel?
That's probably pretty good.
That's probably pretty
common. Wait, so why did you go on a submarine, though?
To go on a tour.
It's like a tour.
Remember
like...
when we did a show on a battleship?
Yeah.
There's submarines like that.
You got to go on a submarine, and what was I doing?
I don't know. We weren't married at the time.
Oh, yeah. Sure, we were on a break. Oh, man, we were fucking all kinds of other people.
You were probably off with Nicole Byer somewhere.
Yeah, that's true.
A couple people in the chat are confirming they've been on a sub.
Really?
So, yeah.
It's already more than I would have thought.
So it's like, like when you go to Hawaii, I know you could like take a helicopter up.
Yeah.
This is that, but underwater? So just a guy owns a submarine and he'll drive you around
No, you don't get to go around in it.
It's like a tour of a docked old submarine.
Yeah, it's like a submarine from World War II.
But that limits you to people who live in port towns.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or have
there's a coastal bias.
Yeah,
Port
like
Arthur,
real,
Texas.
Real coastal bias. I just feel like the submarine is a very... If you're trying to get your numbers up...
I think it's a
if
good...
If you're trying to beat bowling shoes and fezzes.
Does anything come to mind immediately, Amy? Do you have something
Well, that's rare, but not so rare. It's like you're looking for a real sweet spot.
We are looking for a sweet spot.
Because, there's all sorts of ways you could beat fezzes, but...
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, how many people have listened to a dumb fucking podcast? We destroy with that one.
We would destroy. Huh. Let's see. How many people have been in a cover band?
You think that's going to be more than been in a submarine?
Yes.
Yeah.
But we're talking about a cover band that has done a show
that has played
for
a
real,
show
where they got paid.
Well, I don't know if we can. How many? Maybe. When do you start getting
paid? But they
paid
get paid
as a
anything. But
did
paid
you get
anything.
Paid in beer?
I'm talking about free drinks.
Free drinks.
Free drinks counts.
Yeah, free drink. Yeah, they have, you know, you played the your family reunion.
But
yeah.
I'm not just talking about.
I think that counts if you play a family event.
Yeah, a band that has played in front of people.
Yeah.
Like a wedding counts.
A wedding counts.
House party doesn't count unless you get paid, though.
Okay.
I'm taking
that's in
free
front of
what if you were in the movie House Party?
So
parties?
Many people have been in bands.
You get
so many people
either
have been
you
in
get
bands.
Okay, so I either so you got paid to do the house party, or if it's in a club, free drinks counts. But free drinks at a house party does not count because all drinks at a house party are free.
Because that's basically a rehearsal with your dumb friends,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you got right, paid to do a house party, if it's a house concert.
I accept your strictures.
Yeah. I think even with that, we could, because I think we have a lot of musicians.
Yeah.
I think we have a lot of creative people.
Right.
Creatives, we call them. I hate it. As soon as it came out of my mouth. Oh, boy.
You know, we're creatives who make content.
I hate it.
I love content.
I love creating content.
I just wrote a musical about Pringles.
Really? Cool.
Cats are going to do it live on Facebook.
That sounds really good. Shit, I would watch that content.
Cats from the musical
I would absolutely
Cats,
watch that.
By the way.
Sounds like pretty good content. Do we want to go? Are we okay with
you
cover
know what?
Band?
I like this.
Jordan.
Because I feel like it's hard
ready.
To be like to play a show.
Yeah.
To play an instrument well enough that you're playing in a band, you're rehearsing an entire set of material. That's not that easy.
Yeah.
I'm taking on both of you. This is a tripartite fight.
Okay.
This is a three-way, a thruple, if you will.
Uh-huh. I will not. Thank you. Continue.
You'll never recapture what you have.
Are you thumbs upping
I've got
cover band?
I've got have been in a submarine.
Wait, what?
What?
I've got have been in a submarine.
I don't understand. What are you saying?
You guys have a cover band.
Okay. He played in a gig in a submarine, I think is what he's saying.
Oh, cool.
His band
How are the acoustics in there?
You guys have... The click track was weird. It was more of a ping, ping, ping track.
Oh, sure. That's the sonar.
Okay.
It's probably the sonar. So are we doing submarine and cover band?
Yeah.
And we're seeing what wins next week?
Okay, yeah. we're going
like
head
this.
To head.
I like yeah. this
we're
a lot.
We're winning.
We're going to win.
We're going to win.
Man and more.
But remember, cover band, you have to have been paid, okay?
Okay, I'm
drink tickets
that.
Count as payment, but only if you would otherwise have to
place.
Pay for the drinks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You have to play in a public place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or if it's for friends and family, you have to have gotten paid.
Wait so like
Is
talent
that,
shows.
What were the rules again?
If it's for friends and family, you have to have gotten paid.
What about like a battle of the bands type situation?
You have to have won so that you get money.
You have to have won.
All right.
Won or placed.
Okay.
You know, you have to have earned money from the show. If you lost and went home with nothing.
But you're still in a band, even if you...
You're
in
a band.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
good
a gig.
For you.
It's a
I'm not
it's
saying
a gig
it's not
in front
worth
of people.
Doing. I'm saying it doesn't count
We're
by
not
the
qualifying
rules.
The submarine saying it has to go somewhere.
Okay, fine. Mine is. How many people have been in a fucking boat?
You are constricting art to that which gets paid.
Yeah.
Well, you're constricting submarines to that which is not at Disneyland.
Yes, that's right.
It's true.
Okay, quick question about subs.
Yeah.
Somebody brought up that there's a submarine in a museum in Chicago that does. It's not in the water.
That counts. It doesn't.
That
have
absolutely
to be in the
counts.
Yeah,
okay.
That counts. 100%
counts. But the
I'll
ones
give you your dry sub.
The ones that did.
It's also his sex act.
The ones at Disneyland.
I'm just a dry sub.
The ones at Disneyland don't count.
Okay, I'm a dry sub looking for a wet dom.
And there's probably one at Disney World.
Yeah.
For it to count, if it's at a theme park, it can't be on like it can't be on like a track.
Sure.
It has to be an actual.
It has to be real.
It had to be in use
yeah.
at some point
through some sort of military or exploratory, you know, mission.
Yeah,
has to have been on a mission. Let's say that.
Yeah,
and this is only cover bands, not regular bands.
Of course, not regular bands.
Okay, all right.
You're doing and I'm not talking about a mix. Of originals and covers.
You don't have originals.
Too many rules.
This is a cover band. Cover bands don't play originals. They play the hits of the 80s.
I disagree.
You can
with
throw
this
in a couple of originals. You have to primarily be known for your covers.
Maximum two originals.
If you are,
oh my
if
God.
You're in Me First or the Gimme Gimmies, that counts.
You must provide your set list.
Yeah,
this is
right.
His
picture
rules.
Of the set list.
Jesse's rules. Uh-huh. Picture of the set list must be provided.
I think we're going to have a great horse race here. I think this is going to be very exciting.
JJGo@MaximumFun.org.
We've already confused everybody on the cover band rules.
No, the cover
problem.
Band rules are simple. You have to have gotten paid. Either through drinks that would otherwise cost money.
Or happiness.
Or money.
Or yes.
No.
Or joy.
You have
or
to have
money.
Creative fulfillment.
You have to
camaraderie.
By the way.
Fulfilled yourself.
By the way, I have something I'd like to address with our friend Amy Mann.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Amy,
now?
Oh, boy.
Amy came on the Judge John Hodgman podcast, sister show here at MaximumFun.org, and declared that the worst song of all time.
Here we go.
Was
again.
Come On, Eileen.
It's pretty bad.
By Dexy's Midnight Runners, which is a fucking awesome song.
I like it too. I like it too. I'm sorry.
Impossible.
Now, I happen to
have.
See, I don't know. You're making your case. I don't know. I don't disagree.
Do you know what? That Ted Leo just this last week played in a Dexy's Midnight Runners tribute band.
I stewed over this, Jordan.
Did you feel betrayed?
No, because he probably improved it, and he looks good in overalls.
I bet he does look really good in overalls.
I stewed over it for 6 weeks from when we recorded to when the episode was released. When the episode was released, in a combination of venting and self-promotion, I mentioned that Amy had denigrated this song, one of my favorite songs, and that I had been stewing over it for 6 weeks, which was true. Because obviously, while I am a professional culture critic, I have no claim to authority relative to Amy Mann on this subject. and so I felt backed into a corner. And, was it appropriate for me to take that public? Maybe not. I don't know. You know, it's hard to say. But I had big feelings, as they say, and I needed to get them out.
A lot of people are on your side.
Someone immediately said there's only one person who can decide this, at Ted Leo. Ted Leo immediately replied, I'm playing in a Dexy's Midnight Runners cover band this weekend.
That was pretty great.
So Ted Ted could call in and be a 0.4 cover band.
Yes. No,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Cover bands, 206-984-4FUN or jjgo@MaximumFun.org. People who have been in submarines, jjgo@MaximumFun.org, 206-984-4FUN. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Amy Mann, nicknameless. Thus far.
Amy Mann's in here. This is a woman who can take off one hip layer. And all it does is highlight her handsome neckerchief.
It's a nice neckerchief. It's a nice owl shirt.
I like a scarf.
Hey, we talked about the pledge drive, why you should donate morally.
Yeah.
Now we're here to talk about the stuff.
Let's get that stuff.
Yeah. R.I.P. the director of the stuff, who just died this weekend. Check out the stuff. Great movie about yogurt.
Yeah. Check out this. Is that the one that had our old co-host Gene's dad?
Yeah, Gene's dad is in the stuff.
Yeah. Awesome.
Anyway. So for $5 a month, if you go to MaximumFun.org/donate, you can get, and I think we confirmed this on the last episode, over 200 hours of bonus content.
Including, we did an all Q&A episode this year with Sarah Morgan. That
yeah.
is a hoot and
tons
a half.
Of fun.
You can hear the show that we recorded on MacArthur Park Lake in a paddle boat.
Mm-hmm.
And then we said, wow. Brian, cut that down as much as possible because it's hard to podcast on a paddle boat.
Amy, you guys recorded an episode of your podcast that is specifically for donors. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's with Rhea Butcher. We also have we did a bonus content. We have a song that Ted and I wrote and recorded. We did it a while back and we never released it, called Gideon Gray. So we just said, let's toss it in for
that's a perk
for the fun drive. Yeah,
that's serious.
Yeah, that is a very good perk.
Yeah,
hot dang.
Yeah, let's not talk about any of the rest of the things.
Yeah,
we're not gonna top that.
I do love those. I do love those Man Leo collaborations. Well,
we're
they are
the
so good.
We're the newbies, so we have to try harder.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Well, hey, $5 a month bonus content. Any donor can get that at any time. Easy to do, but there's also some other good stuff if you want to give a little bit more.
Yeah, at $10 a month, you get one of our enamel pins. There's one for every Maximum Fun program.
Mm-hmm.
Ours features the Destroy the West robot,
mm-hmm.
And of course, our classic catchphrase, glug, glug.
Glug, glug.
Which is short for glug, glug, that hot yellow.
Yep. Sure is.
Sorry, Amy.
there's a bubble pin that says Laser Dong on it.
Oh, it's so cool.
Very
too.
Cool.
It is really cool. Yeah, and if we hit our donation goal, mm-hmm. our membership goal of 25,000 new and upgrading donors, we will make those pins available to all $10 a month and up members for purchase with all the proceeds going to charity.
Hey, that's awesome.
Yeah. We raised over $100,000 doing that last year. It was absolutely incredible.
Wow.
Let's see, what do we got for $20 a month? We got something out there for $20 a month, Jesse?
Oh, yeah. We have this beautiful custom puzzle designed by Jeffrey Tice. It features a lone podcast listener gazing out across the view from our office.
Hmm.
It is the real view from our office, made even more beautiful by Jeffrey. And I have gotten so much feedback specifically about how genuinely gorgeous this picture is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 550 pieces, that's the perfect family project.
Absolutely. For $35 a month, you get a beautiful glass coffee mug with the Max Fun Rocket logo.
Plus, of course, the puzzle and the pin and
the
bonus content. All these are
so
cumulative.
You mean to tell me that if you donate at a higher level, you get everything below that level as well?
Yeah, for some reason you do.
Cool. $50 a month, you get a metal engraved Max Fun membership card. Personalized with your name, and there are more levels if you want to go higher. A lot of really cool stuff. For $100 a month, membership in the Inner Circle, where you get a cool piece of pop culture from a Max Fun host.
I just actually picked something out for the Inner Circle members.
Mm-hmm.
I picked out a movie called Soul Power, which is a documentary of the concert that went along with the Rumble in the Jungle in Zaire in the 1970s that features absolutely unbelievable performance from Celia Cruz and the Fania All-Stars, and a totally gorgeous performance from Bill Withers, and a breathtaking, like stunning punch in the face of a performance from a very mustachioed James Brown with an enormous belt buckle on his jumpsuit that says GFOS for Godfather of Soul. It is amazing. It is like, what's great about it is, it's like right at the end of James Brown. It's like 1974 or something, 75. It's like right at the end of his relevance. I mean, obviously he will forever be relevant, but right at the end of his peak. But what's great about that is you get to enjoy the fact that he's a little husky and has a giant mustache, but you still get all the hits. Everything that you wish James Brown would play, he can play because he record, like, except for, I guess, Living in America. But like all of his songs are in the catalog by then, and it is just like a mind-blowing performance.
So, lots of good stuff if you go to MaximumFun.org/donate. A quick word about the bonus content. One of the things you can listen to...
The BOCO?
The BOCO. One of the things you can listen to in that donor feed is a special one-time-only podcast that John Hodgman and I recorded last year. It's called Shootin' the Breeze, B-R-I-E-S, and it is us talking about our time working in the cheese industry, something we both did.
Wow.
We actually both worked in cheese shops.
Wow, you're
specifically,
both
you both mongered
past
cheese.
Cheesers.
We passed, yes, we're a couple of former cheesers, current crackers.
Coincidentally, you also both played for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, it was a lot of weird parallels with me and Hodgman.
Yeah.
I was a spokesman for ColecoVision.
Oh, wow.
So we're basically the same guy. That was a big hit.
Yeah.
Of the bonus content, it's the one I hear about the most. And, you know, we kind of looked at the outcry and we're like, well, we said we would do this once, but it was so popular, maybe we'll do it again. And we said if we got 2,500 new Jordan Jesse Go subscribers would record another episode of Shootin' the Breeze, episode 2. Maybe we would reach out to people who had cheese-based last names. John Hodgman did some preliminary work trying to book a certain captain that everybody enjoys. Maybe mm-hmm. she has a cat that has the same name as one mentioned earlier in the show. And I think a lot of people have been excited about that prospect.
And if we can't book the captain, we will book Tennille.
We will book Tennille. Get Tennille in here. Yeah. Tennille Gruyere.
Yeah.
So we've had a lot of great support this mm-hmm. drive. Love hearing from the fans. Love people upgrading. You know, it's been successful. But as far as that goal of 2,500 for the new episode, we ain't even close.
Really?
Yeah, not even close. It's sad.
Well, MaximumFun.org/donate. We got to make this happen.
I need to see your extra cheese material.
Please, don't deprive Amy of our extra cheese material.
I need additional cheese material from you and Hodgman.
Let's just encourage people to get out there at MaximumFun.org/donate and just have a stronger showing this week. I don't know what to say. I mean, we're not just going to do it for the heck of it. We need people to get out there and support this thing, this cheese thing.
This might come right down to the wire. You're hosting a live streaming show at MaximumFun.org on Friday night,
mm-hmm.
Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific, along with Helen Hong and dozens of MaxFun hosts, including myself. And I think we might find out then whether we make that goal.
Well, I don't know. People just got to get out there. I'm excited about the drive. It's been going great, but this particular aspect could use a little work.
You know what else I just saw? Our friend Elliot Kalin, one of the hosts of the Flophouse, and our friend John Hodgman, the host of Judge John Hodgman, have made a pact. Mm. If we hit our goal of 25,000 new and upgrading donors, they will make a donors-only mini-series where they watch the 70s miniseries I, Claudius together.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the dream. That's how you motivate people,
That
Amy.
Is absolutely the dream.
Yeah. From here, where?
Wow.
Upstairs, downstairs?
Amy, how many
Taylor,
donors?
Soldier Spy, the BBC version?
Amy, how many donors will we have to get for you to go through all of Mannix?
Mannix is a rough ride. I will go through all of canon all on my own.
Okay. Man watches canon. Man on canon.
What would it take for you to go through the Rough Riders canon? So that would be like stop, drop, roll.
Sure.
What else would be a top? It would be a big Rough Riders hit.
Listen, I will write a song about your cat for, I don't know, name an amount.
Speak Chinese.
Does anybody
Jin.
Else besides the two of us want this cat song?
No, I think listen, if you want this, man's put the cat song on the table. I want it. You want it.
Yeah.
Get out there. So let's do this. We'll find a goal for this. And if we hit a certain amount of subscribers, we'll do the cat song.
Yeah.
I'll come in and do harmonies or gang vocals.
I'll have a cat song by the end of the week.
Great. Done.
This is both of our shows collaborating together. So I say let's make this the overall goal.
Okay.
If we're able to get to 25,000 new and upgrading MaxFun donors, Amy Mann will write a song about Jordan's cat and record it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
This is incredible. You heard it here first.
What
folks.
A thrill. It would be a thrill.
This is a momentous occasion. Should we take
Let's hear a momentous occasion call? Yeah.
Hi, Jordan, Jesse, Go. This is Hugo. And I was calling in because of the poly discussion.
Because the poly discussion, you know, on all your episodes.
I thought maybe he had polyps.
Oh.
Oh, no. I was worried for the guy. But no, he's probably polyamorous. Okay.
Yeah, all of our listeners, we're pretty sure are polyamorous at this point.
Or polyamorous aspirational.
I am not technically in a throuple. Me and my boyfriend are poly, though. And the total number of people in our polycule, which is what you call, like, all the whole, like, just everybody who's dating everybody.
Mm-hmm. They seem like such sweeties when they call.
13 people.
13?
I'm only personally dating one of them. My boyfriend's dating about 4, I think. But yeah. There's always a lot of people to play board games. And in general, it's pretty cool. There are a lot of shared calendars. So that seems to be the main thing.
What's
a lot of Google calendars being shared. Anyway, love the show. Bye.
What's that thing called, like a Bumble, where you send somebody and they mark their availability?
I don't know.
If you're trying to have a meeting, you send it to them and they mark their availability?
Yeah.
Sounds you like, think they all live in one house?
No, I don't think so. I bet everybody. I bet maybe, I bet this,
complex,
maybe this
though.
Guy and his boyfriend cohabitate. But yeah. I don't know if everybody in the polycule lives in some sort of polycule crash pad.
I'm glad that they use the Google calendars because, honestly, before that, I was imagining that thing with the Polaroids and the corkboard and the red yarn.
Oh, right. Exactly.
That's how I was imagining everyone keeping track of it.
Amy, how many listeners to The Art of Process do you think are polyamorous?
God, I don't know. It's I have not. It's hard to speculate on our audience. Do we have an audience? I don't know. Jesse would have to tell us that.
Honestly, I haven't heard any other podcasts before.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you should try them out. They're great. A lot of fun for your commute.
I don't know. I'm mostly into Stern.
Oh, yeah. Sure. That's why you got XM.
Baba Booey!
Oh, you got us. You got us. Boy, 13. That is a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot of dating. That's a lot. Like, when I think about, when I think about the act of dating,
yeah.
You know, and it's not. Like, this isn't someone you, like, go, you know, you slip in on the late night.
Right.
Like, this is like, oh, we go to dinner, we, you know, and every other one, you got to do something a little bit fun. So you may do mini golf or, you know, oh,
ice skating rink.
Ice skating
in a park
rink.
Downtown.
Outdoor movie.
You know what this sounds like? A full-time job.
Yeah.
It's a full-time job.
It's a lot of dating.
Having all these datings.
You have to be passionate about
it's
dating.
It's too much. It's too much.
What we're talking about.
It's just a lot of energy. And
I don't think it's.
Juggling and
I don't
planning.
Think it even is
I bet
the
they
dates.
Do juggle on their dates.
It's a lot,
I bet the dating involve actual juggling.
That boyfriend with four partners definitely knows how to juggle.
Oh, he definitely knows how to juggle.
That dude's a juggling fool.
Oh, yeah. Boy can juggle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's...
Get you a man who juggles.
Right. Do you think... Well, I mean, do you think... Wow, do you think this is a clown polycule? And do you think they all go out on dates in one little car?
I don't know. Did he say where he was calling from? Did I hear...
I heard a Southern
Washington, D.C.?
Oh, okay. Accent? Yeah, it was a Southern accent, so probably the Deep South somewhere. Maybe not the Deep South.
Maybe the Shallow South. That's Washington, D.C.
Yeah,
D.C.
is very shallow south.
Okay, all right. Enough of your political commentary there.
I'm a incendiary satirist, like Borowitz from the Borowitz Report.
Or John Steps from the Capitol Steps.
Anyway, I don't countenance these grease-painted fools.
all right.
In our nation's capital.
Enough scorching
these
satire.
These flap-shoed yahoos.
Flap-shoed.
Yeah.
It's a clown.
Oh, the clown.
That's maybe put down the seltzer bottle and pick up a legislative pen to write legislation with.
Whew. I'm getting hot. Can I take off my T-shirt?
I know. We should have brought more layers in to take off.
Yeah, I know, right?
Only if you have an owl tattoo underneath. We got one more call. Let's take one more call.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, and I'm guessing Steve Agee.
Nope.
I guess this is a momentous occasion. It was almost a moment of death. I just lit up my grill to fire up some brats that I had purchased, and
awesome.
The propane tank caught on fire.
Oh, shit.
My wife yelled out, "Oh, my God, turn the grill off." So I turned the grill off and grabbed my dog and fucking ran. And we're both alive. The fire extinguished itself, but anyways, hard as a rock and wet as a river, I suppose. Thanks.
But unfortunately, five members of his polycule were killed. The explosion. Got a brat in the eye.
Oh, man. This happened one time when I was grilling with my dad.
Mm.
And my dad had had too many beans for lunch.
Nope. Okay. All right.
World's largest source of natural gas, if you know what I mean.
I do know.
Yeah.
I do know.
We know.
We've been in this room with your dad before. Us and your dad have a podcast together.
Oh, wow.
Nicole Byer drops by sometimes.
No shit.
Yeah,
she's good
really
in everything.
Fun. She's good in everything. You can always count on her.
She's got that Netflix show.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing great.
Yep. Real funny.
A lot of energy.
Tons of energy.
It helps because my dad is pretty senile. Got a paper over that.
Oh, we know.
Love you, Dad. He's not listening.
Nah.
No, doesn't care. Well, if you have something momentous happen to you, 206-984-4FUN is the number to call, or email us at jjgo@maximumfun.org. You just send us a voice memo.
Mm-hmm.
Just send us a voice memo.
Do it.
Just send us a voice memo. And hey, if you're not already a member of MaximumFun.org, it's easy. MaximumFun.org/donate is where you go. And here's the thing, Jordan. Don't fuck around with this.
No, don't. Please don't.
This is like a propane tank.
Yeah.
Do not fuck around.
That's what
you could blow up in your fucking
around.
Face.
That's why you have that polycule.
Yeah.
Fuck around there.
Yeah, fuck around in the cule.
Not here.
Get up in that cule.
Yeah.
Get up in them cule guts.
All right. MaximumFun.org/donate.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Amy Mann, still nicknameless.
Amy Mann, do you know how to play the piano?
I play a little bit. I'm trying to write songs on piano, and it's very frustrating because I'm terrible at it, but I'm sitting there hammering away.
If there was somebody who knew how to play piano good enough to be an accompanist, mm-hmm. I would sing a song from The Music Man for donors.
Wow. We're getting donors a lot of cool stuff on this episode.
Do we know
really
somebody?
Really throwing down.
Yeah, throwing down.
I guess they would have to have
gauntlets.
A piano in the studio,
yeah,
too.
You'd have to have a piano.
Are you saying if somebody comes to the live stream on Friday with the piano, you'll sing something from The Music Man?
Wait, just like off the fucking dome with no practice?
Well, you mean you have between now and then?
Yeah, you have time.
You have a couple days.
Wait, if they bring a piano to the live stream, yeah, I'll do it.
Okay. But what about a keytar?
A keytar. Oh, yes.
They should totally bring a keytar.
Oh, now you have to have a keytar.
You got it. Please. We could probably do, if we're looking to beat Fez, we could probably do has a keytar. It'll probably run away. Bees, those in your cover band, right? Anyway.
I feel like you can't really play the song from The Music Man on the guitar. Amy's a gifted guitarist.
Absolutely.
It would be weird. Mm-hmm. It would be tough to arrange it for guitar.
A keytar could be an interesting twist.
It could be. Amy, if you had to kill Hugh Jackman to be in one Broadway musical, do you have one off the top of your head?
Assassins.
That'd be fitting. How fitting.
My favorite musicals are Cabaret and Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I like musicals that start with C. And Book of Mormon also was very good.
Yeah. B is close to C.
It's very close.
Very close.
But it's none of them are murderable. I think because I don't really have that urge to act.
Ah, sure. There's a bit of acting
involved. And singing on stage. I don't know. I don't have the pipes. I don't have the, you know, projection.
Jordan, Amy gets hired to act even though she doesn't really want to. That should be our career goal.
You got to say yes to stuff.
You got to say yes.
Yeah.
The dress. Got to say yes to that.
Say yes to the dress.
Being in the Versace show, you got to say yes to that.
Have to say yes.
And when Portlandia comes a calling.
Yep.
Anyway, these are the things you got to say yes to.
1, 2, 3.
Yes. Oh, I thought we were all going to say yes at the same time.
I like that.
Yeah.
I was counting the number of things you have to say yes to.
Oh, okay. I thought we were all going to, in unison, say yes to life.
Yeah.
To love. To wine. To food.
L'chaim.
L'chaim. Amy.
Yes.
The Art of the Process is now on MaximumFun.org.
It is.
People should listen to it.
They really should. I feel like you could get something out of it.
We mentioned the Rhea Butcher bonus episode.
Yes, that was a good one.
Who else? Who do you got in the main feed there?
In the what?
In the main feed.
Oh, the, like, who have been some of your favorite guests?
Who have we already had?
Yes. Sorry to drop that podcast lingo.
My mind has suddenly gone blank because it's too hot in here. It's not working.
That's true. It is making me forget who has been on this show, too.
No, my brain has to be chilled like a computer.
Barack Obama.
Yeah. Barack Obama.
That's right.
You call him Barry, of course. Nelson Mandela.
Mm-hmm.
His ghost.
PewDiePie.
PewDiePie. Oh, he's good in everything.
His creative process is really revelatory.
It's very strange.
Right.
It's a strange one.
Yeah. Play Minecraft and have views.
Yeah.
Well, you and Ted are two of my favorite creative people.
Thank you.
And the fact that you guys have a podcast talking about creativity is a real thrill.
Now I have to look at my list. I literally can't remember. My mind has gone blank.
Brian, you can chime in. Who have been some people on the show?
Oh, sure. Wyatt Cinek, Rebecca Sugar.
That's right.
Dan Wilson looks like the most recent one.
Now I recall.
The Mariners catcher?
Dan Wilson was in Semisonic. And he also, he's one of those guys who writes, who is like a co-writer, like one of those like hit writer guys that, you know, artists are put with him to write these gigantic hit songs with four choruses in a row. And he has a really fantastic sense of melody. And I've known him since we were in bands together in Boston, like in the 80s. And I just always thought he was so good and so ahead of his time.
How many originals did you play in the band?
All right.
Is it two or more?
I always played originals. I'm not good enough to be in a cover band. You have to, that's like
got
a
chops.
Yeah, that's a chops thing.
Pure, he's good enough, Jordan.
Pure chop. Man's got chops.
You know, you play in a like a arty punk band, you just literally do whatever kind of garbage you feel like doing. And nobody is the wiser. That's why I liked it.
MaximumFun.org to get that podcast. MaximumFun.org/donate to donate to all of the shows. So let's go over what's been thrown down here. 25,000 new members.
Amy will write a song about my Jordan's cat bug. Yep.
2,500 new Jordan Jesse Go subscribers. Hodgman and I will talk about cheese on a new episode of Shooting the Breeze. It's not looking good, but who knows?
Maybe I believe in Jordan Jesse Go.
Maybe people will come through
right now.
Maybe
aren't
people
they?
Will come through.
Look, we put out a whole extra episode for during the Max Fun Drive, and it was a fucking good one.
It was a banger.
That was a fucking dope one. Somebody tweeted at me. This is just for people who only listen to Jordan Jesse Go on Monday, and they haven't gone back to listen to the one we put out on Friday. Somebody tweeted me that it was the best live podcast episode ever.
Whoa.
Yeah, no fucking shit, dude.
Tony Hale, John Roderick, great episode.
Tony Hale, just that guy's
for, an EGOT. Just for you on the Max Fun Drive. Yeah, the live stream on Friday, right?
It's Friday, 4 to 6 p.m., 4 p.m. Pacific to 6 p.m. Pacific, or 7 p.m. Eastern to 10 p.m. Eastern. You can find it at MaximumFun.org. It's going to be a hoot and a half.
I don't want to interrupt your thing, but
no, please.
John Roderick, I guarantee you, has been in a submarine.
Yeah.
There's no doubt, right?
Well, John, let us know. He might live in one.
I see your guarantee, Amy. John Roderick, I guarantee you, has never listened to a podcast.
That's probably true. That sounds very much like him.
Well, hey, hit us up on Twitter. If you're John Roderick, let us know if you've been in a submarine.
I can text him right now and find out.
Would you please?
Yeah, please text John Roderick.
We need this question answered.
Find out if he's ever been in a submarine. God, we need to know the answer to this question.
We got it.
I mean, he certainly podcasted about submarines on Friendly Fire, right?
Sure.
Oh, yeah?
One would imagine.
Yeah, well, that's their favorite John. Ben Harrison and I, years before Friendly Fire even existed, shared deep conversations about how by far the best genre of movie is submarine movies.
Sure. U-571.
Even U-571. Mm-hmm. A C-minus movie at best is a B-plus movie because it's in a submarine.
Yeah.
Very enjoyable film. Very enjoyable film. And a good film in a submarine, Das Boot,
mm-hmm.
One of the all-time greats.
Okay.
Das Boot.
Well, let us know your favorite submarine movie. Hit us up on Twitter. If Amy gets an answer to this Roderick submarine question, maybe we'll break back in and let you know the answer. But yeah, until then, should we say goodnight?
Yeah, MaximumFun.org/donate. Do become a member of Maximum Fun. That really is how we make this show and why we make this show.
Yeah.
Don't fuck around and not do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. If you have sat there and listened to an hour and 40 minutes or whatever of this bullshit, you owe it to yourself to put $5 in the tiller.
It's tipping time.
Time to tip.
Tipping time.
Tipping time.
And maybe that will be my new nickname.
Oh, yeah, the next time you're back.
Amy, tipping time man.
Time for tips.
Tip-a-tap-a-toe. Brian Sonny D. Fernandez is our producer. Our thanks to him. Thanks to everybody at MaximumFun.reddit.com, the Reddit group where people are really jamming on the Max Fun Drive. Thanks to everybody who follows us on Twitter at Amy Mann, AimeeMann, and Jordan_Morris and Jesse Thorne. Thanks to everybody who joins us on Facebook, where we are live streaming tonight's episode, or this episode, I should say. Goodbye, Facebook. We love you so much. Just search for Jordan Jesse Go there and hit like, or join the Maximum Fun group there. And oh shit, Jordan.
Mm.
We have one last announcement to make.
What? You're pregnant?
I was about to wrap this thing up, but we have one last announcement to make.
What is it?
2019 is the year of the Summer Boys of Summer Tour.
Oh, that's right. We're going on tour.
We're going on tour, baby.
Starting in June. At some point, right?
Yeah, we're going on tour in June. We're going to New York City. We're going to Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to...
Portland, Seattle, Austin?
Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
We're going to Chicago, Illinois. We're going to Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Come check us out. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Los Angeles, California. Boston, Massachusetts. The Summer Boys of Summer are coming your way, America. This is our first tour in over 100 years.
Right.
Yes, that's right. Jordan is no longer has a lucrative and inflexible employment in the field of television. I finally have my youngest child just barely old enough that my wife will let me get away for 5 days at a time. It is going to be an extravaganza. And if you become a member of MaximumFun.org, you and only you, and also other members of MaximumFun.org, will get exclusive pre-access to tickets to the Summer Boys of Summer Tour 2019.
First crack at those ticks.
Yeah. You're gonna get into the front of the VIP line? Yeah, probably.
MaximumFun.org.
If there is a VIP
donate.
Line.
Who knows? We don't
know.
If
there's any VIPs at the show for some reason. Yeah.
Maybe.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be tons of fun. Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Hope everybody comes out to those. Yeah, keep your eyes peeled on the social meds for deets.
Oh,
and go to MaximumFun.org/donate to get first crack at those tickets.
We'll talk to you next time on Jordan Jesse Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.